In his compelling message called Doing What's Right, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that maintaining personal integrity takes courage.
We cannot take our cues from the world around us or even the majority opinion or what is politically correct. Would you please get past political correctness?
It was Micah who said, "And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" From this verse, Chuck Swindoll draws relevant application for our times.
I'm not giving you an easy path. I'm giving you a correct path. Stand for what's right, even when those closest to you do not understand.
Ask for a free copy of Chuck Swindoll's message titled Doing What's Right by going to insight.org/doingright. A gift from your friends at Insight for Living. Go to insight.org/doingright.
This offer is only valid in the United States. Today, many of us find ourselves in a prison of our own making. Oh, the bars aren't literal, of course, but figurative. We're enslaved by an emotion that we can't seem to escape, no matter how hard we try. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll addresses this common captivity. We're talking about the bondage caused by worry. As we get started with today's message, be thinking about the relationship that's causing you angst, or the predicament that seems impossible to resolve. Let's apply biblical wisdom to our real-life issues as Chuck presents today's message called Stop Worrying and Start Trusting.
Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Rejoice in the Lord every day. Let me give you some tips on how to make that happen. Number one, look for something each day to laugh about or to laugh at. Determine that you will find the bright side of life and smile when you do. Second, release. Release your burden every day. Where do I get that? Verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I think back when we did not have even a window air conditioner for our little apartment at Dallas Seminary. And we were facing that summer without an air conditioner. I said to Cynthia, tell you what, we were reading Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret, and he never shared needs publicly. We didn't tell our parents, because one of them for sure would have bought it for us. We didn't tell a friend. We didn't drop a hint at the church where we worship. We did not tell a soul. And out of the blue, while we're visiting her folks one particular day in Houston, about to drive back to the seminary in Dallas, I got a phone call. The man called his name. Hi, Chuck, this is Richard. Hey, Richard, how you doing? I'm great. You need an air conditioner? You think I said, no, Richard, really, we're just praying about needs that we have. I said, oh, yeah, man, absolutely. He said, I'll bring it over. He said, I'm sorry, it's a window air conditioner. I go, well, it's okay, yeah, if it's a window air conditioner. It's a brand new Feathers window air conditioner. He stuck it in the trunk of our little car. We drove it back to seminary, stuck it in the window. I ran that sucker winter, summer, just ran that baby. Boy, did we have a cool little apartment. Our apartment was so little, you had to go outside to change your mind. I mean, it was really, really little. Every time I enjoyed it, I thought of Richard Parks. But really, I thought of the goodness of God to answer a prayer. And when I recall that, I realize God specifically answers what we specifically request. Don't you doubt it. He says, thank him for all he's done. And every once in a while, Cynthia and I do that very thing. She got onto an idea some time ago. Before we would go to sleep at night, she'd say to me, we're laying by each other, she says, hey, honey, you name three things you're thankful for, and I'll name three things I'm thankful for. What a great project. We'll do that from time to time, and laying there, and she'll name one thing, and then I'll name another, and she'll name another, or she'll name three, and then I'll name three. You know what? It is a fantastic final thought before you drop off to sleep. We have a friend who's been doing that more than half of her adult life. She is a cheery person. Her heart is light. Her burden is lifted. She has remembered the things that God has done. Rather than lying there grinding about something, worried over something, release it. Lay your pack on the Lord and He will bless you. He will relieve you. Drop that heavy-hearted load off your shoulders. Give it to Him. Give it to Him. Release your burden every day. When you begin to live a life of gratitude, it is amazing what it does to your spirit. You begin to live lighter, easier. You become an influence that's encouraging and affirming. We encourage people in what they do. We affirm them in who they are. That's the difference. I have often thought of a great goal in life is to encourage at least one person every day. Every day. Someone on your staff, a word of encouragement, a word of affirmation. Every day, release the burden to the Lord. Worry about nothing. Turn it into prayer. Make the worry a prayer list and keep that before the Lord. Now, there's a third. Here we go. Look at verse 7. Then you will, wait. See, our habit is just to race on over words. And that first word is important. Then, when I have released, when I have refused to worry, and I have begun to pray, remembering the goodness of God, then, look, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. You know why? Because you really don't have around you anything to give you peace. It's a gift from God. He gives you His peace. In fact, look at the word guard. His peace will guard your hearts and minds. By the way, the source of worry, the heart and the mind. It guards your heart and mind. What's the word guard mean? It's a military term in Greek for marching sentry duty around a treasure. Marching sentry duty. The specific areas that need to be guarded are the mind and the heart. And so, here it is. Relax every day as God surrounds you with His peace. Relax in His peace every day. Think of it as a wonderful soft hammock that you throw a leg up onto and you crawl into and you relax there in the hammock of His peace. Now, when you do it, it won't make sense to others. They'll see you having peace and they'll know what you're going through and they'll want to know, how you doing that? Like the guy that gave his business to God, decided, I've worried about this business long enough. It's the Lord's business. So he deliberately said, Lord, whatever comes of this is yours. You take care of it. I'll be responsible with what I should. But as you got a call in the middle of the night a couple of weeks later, his partner got him on the phone, panicked, said, man, the place is burning up. You got to get down there. So he got in his car and he drove down. He stood out front and he looked at the building as it's going up in smoke. Has a smile on his face. Partner looks at him and says, you realize what's happening? He says, yeah, I realize what happened. Place is on fire. Why can you be smiling? Hey, 2 weeks ago, I gave my business to God. He wants to burn it up. That's his business. Now, you hear that and you go, how irresponsible. That's because you worry. Because you'd rather worry about it. He can't stop the fire by worrying. Who knows what the future may hold now that the business is burned up? He may get his priorities right. There may be a plan beyond what he would have thought of. If the peace of God surrounds you, it's amazing what it does to your mind and your heart. You place it before him daily, and he marches guard duty around you with a peace you can't even explain. Hold on here and look at Isaiah 26, okay? Right quick. Isaiah 26. Good for you. I hear those pages turning. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. I'm always glad I went to Vacation Bible School because that's where I learned the books about. They threw me out, but before then, I learned the books of the Bible. Look at Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Here we go. If you don't have them marked, you need to mark these two verses. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. You know what the Hebrew says? You will keep in shalom, shalom. The word peace is repeated. You will keep in shalom, shalom, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts, there's the mind, are fixed on you. What's the secret? Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Your world isn't a rock. Your future isn't a rock. Your situation isn't a rock. Your health isn't a rock. The rock is the Lord. He's the eternal rock. So you have the promise, verse 3, that he will keep you in peace, peace. The Hebrew sentence reads like this. The one being steadfast in mind, you will keep in peace, peace, because in you he is trusting, or she is trusting. Relax every day as God's peace surrounds you, every day, every day. Rejoice in him every day. Release the burden to him every day. Relax in his peace every day. You see, when you turn it over to the Lord, he trades off the burden and gives you in its place peace. Relax every day surrounded by God's peace. Let me tell you something. You start living like that, it is amazing how difficult it is for circumstances to work their way into your head or into your heart. You acknowledge that they're there, you're not in denial, but you refuse to make the circumstances your reality. Your reality is the peace of God, and you claim it. Now back to Philippians 4. We've learned to rejoice, we've learned to release, we've learned the importance of relaxing every day in his peace that surrounds us. Here's the fourth. Respond by focusing on the right things. That's verses 8 and 9. Respond by focusing on the right things. And what are they? Well, I'm glad you asked. There are six of them named right here. Verse 8. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thought. That's where I got the word focus. Fix your thoughts on what? Are you ready? There are six of them. What's true, what's honorable, what's right, what's pure, what's lovely, and what's admirable. Look at the six. I'm to focus my mind first on what's true. How do I know what's true? It's in this book. It's in this book. The better I get to know the book, the better I will know what's true. God does not ever give you what is false or phony. He doesn't play games with you. He operates in truth, and it's truth we just heard from Jesus that sets us free. And if we're free in him, we're truly free. True, honorable. Look at the rest. What is right and pure. I recently met with a man who has made an absolute ruin of his life. He's ruined his reputation. He's ruined much of his future. Well-educated individual, more than one doctorate, along with another advanced degree in the practice of law. Very intelligent individual, but he stopped thinking about what is right and pure and lovely. He got his life off course. And when he ran that course off course, he got himself into a whale of a mess that will take him years to get out of, because he stopped focusing on what is honorable and right and pure. You'll never go wrong if you focus on those things. And what is admirable, isn't that a great word? Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Ask yourself if what you are focusing on is worthy of praise and worth your time. Respond by focusing on the right things. Each time you do, add these words: I trust you, Lord, right now. I trust you, Lord, right now. I lean on you with my mind that can play tricks on me and with my heart that's given to all kinds of extremes. I ask that you enable me to so focus on you that my trust remains unshakable. You begin your day like that, you continue your day like that, you will not worry. But you get off that path, it's only a matter of time. Because if you don't know what to worry about, those people around you do. And they'll tell you, or you'll tune the evening news. Not one of those newscasters is paid to tell you what's good. They all are designed to tell you all the stuff you can worry about. Today we will have more ice and rain and a cold rain later on. I'm thinking, well, good night, it's February, what do I expect, Hawaii? And after all, it's Texas, it's going to change. Just wait 2 days, we'll be in the 70s again. You'd worry about that because the weather's going to change and it's going to affect you. And it gets wet, your car is going to rust. If your car rusts, your fender's going to fall off. And if your fender falls off, it's going to tear up your tires. I'm being silly here, but that's the way worry is. It never gets better. It always gets worse, because it isn't about things that are true and honorable and just and lovely and pure and admirable. I'm to think on those things. And by the way, while I'm at it, I might as well give you a secret. It's not mine. Look down here at the end of, or the middle of verse 12. Look at verse 12. I've learned the secret of living in every situation. Don't you wish you knew that? Well, he tells you. Here's the secret of living like I've been describing. Above it, look, I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. Number one secret, teach yourself to be contented with whatever you have. Teach yourself to be content with whatever you have. You say, well, you know, Chuck, I'll never get ahead. No, don't tell yourself that. That's a lie from the pit. You'll get ahead by being contented, but you won't get ahead worrying. It'll be in God's time, and you'll be free of all the self-made stuff that'll drag its way along with you. Be content with whatever you have. God told me after the first service that his wife put a little blackboard, a little chalkboard, on the door that goes into the garage where he goes every day. And she wrote on it, "Be content with today. It's enough." Isn't that a great reminder? It's enough. You know what? I'm going to level with you. You and I have more than the vast majority in any of the third world. What we have is called luxurious. It's called wealthy. More than most ever dreamed of having. Why do you think they all want to come to America? Look at what we have. And probably the most discontented of all peoples on earth are the Americans. Amazing. Because worry has won the day. We've not trained ourselves to be content. That's a secret. Teach yourself to be contented. By the way, if you're not married and you're looking for a partner in life, be sure you look for one who is contented. Because if you don't, they'll bring all kind of worry into your family. Be sure you have a partner that is in agreement with you regarding contentment. contentment. Teach yourself to be contented with whatever you have. Verse 13. Here's the last part of the secret. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Here's the second. Train yourself to be confident in Christ's strength. Train yourself to be confident in Christ's strength. There you have it. Rejoice. Release. Relax. Respond. Fulfill the secrets. Training yourself, teaching yourself to be contented. Training and teaching yourself to be confident in Christ's strength. Today, Lord, I don't have the strength to do what is asked of me, but you do. I count on you to give me the strength. Today, Lord, I have to make a decision. The decision is greater than I'm able to pull off. I've got to face a very difficult individual. You've got the strength, and nobody is difficult for you. And I ask that you give me the strength to carry that out. And on it goes. Ruth Graham Bell has written a book titled Prodigals and Those Who Love Them. In it, she tells this very brief but meaningful account. She writes of a weary Christian who lay awake through the night trying to hold the world together by his worrying. Then he heard the Lord gently say to him, now you go to sleep, Jim, and I'll sit up. Isn't that great? You go on to sleep, Jim, I'll sit up. If you can't sleep tonight, listen closely. You may hear that. It might be your wife. But it's probably the Lord. You go to sleep, Chuck, because I'm going to sit up. I neither slumber nor sleep. I'm awake 24/7, 365. And I got it under control. Isn't that a great thought? You'll never hear coming from heaven, oops. Or, I didn't know that. How in the world did that happen down there? Isn't that great? You got nothing to worry about if you're on the rock. But if you're not, may you never sleep well. May you never find rest until you find it in Christ. When you find it in Him, you've got the best, nothing better. Father, thank you for encouraging us how to replace worry with trust. Now, as soon as we leave, we know the enemy's heard everything that was said, and we'll be surrounded with all of those little whispers designed to take away the truth that has been deposited in our heads. I pray, Lord, that you will give us the ability to rejoice, to release, relax, and to respond in ways that reveal contentment and the strength of Christ. And then as you reward us for that, Father, remind us that it's all come from you. I pray that you would break the bonds of those who have fallen into an addiction of worry, that you'd give them a future and a hope that's filled with delight and joy. And I ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord. Everybody said, amen.
And with his closing prayer, we conclude Chuck's message titled, Stop Worrying and Start Trusting. It's the fifth message in a 9-part series called Things to Stop and Start. To purchase the CDs or the downloadable audio files, go to insightworld.org. Worry comes in many shapes and sizes, and one of the nagging issues that creep into our minds is the subtle feeling that we don't measure up. Just look at the magazine covers in the checkout line at the grocery store, and you see the beautiful airbrushed faces. Or spend a little time on Facebook, and it seems like everyone else's life is perfect. For many women, it makes them feel unworthy and devalued. Well, Chuck Swindoll commissioned a number of women to address this topic in a brand new book. It's called Exquisitely Imperfect: Choosing Life Unfiltered. No matter how many degrees you've earned, no matter how much money you make, no matter how perfectly your home is decorated, nothing will truly satisfy until you embrace God's unconditional love and acceptance. Get a copy today for yourself and for the ladies in your life. In these engaging chapters, you'll be challenged to hear God's affirming voice, the one who made you. Again, the book is called Exquisitely Imperfect: Choosing Life Unfiltered, and it's yours when you give a donation to Insight for Living. Request the book online at insight.org, or if you're listening in the United States, call us at 800-772-8888. We're grateful for the many women and men who have chosen to support Chuck's ministry every month. We call them monthly companions. You can imagine the impact of your donation when it arrives every month, because it provides strength and stability to Insight for Living. Become a monthly companion right now. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888. Or online, go to insight.org/monthly companion. I'm Eric Basil in for Dave Spiker, inviting you to join us again Monday to hear the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Stop Worrying and Start Trusting, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.